It is a Wednesday. It's time for our focus on K-State Athletics. Yesterday, we were joined by the voice of Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Today, the voice of the Big 12 champion, Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Tomorrow, the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney. So I hope you've enjoyed these guest appearances. And Wyatt, my friend, how you doing, man? The play-by-play voice of the Big 12 champion, Kansas State Wildcat football team. I would imagine that has a good ring to it.
Well, it does to me, for sure. I appreciate that, and it's good to be on with you again, bud. It's been a little while, and it's been an amazing season on so many different levels. I love the way this team has progressed and gotten better. I think Coach Kleiman has continued to just slowly and methodically build this program and make it better and stronger. We've had a lot of storylines. We've had a lot of, young guys on this team that showed a ton of personality. It's just been a blast, man. I don't know how else to say it.
When we were talking with you, when we talked before the season or early in the season, when we spoke with Brian Smoller, we spoke with Kellis Robinette, among others that we've had on Wednesdays, we were asking, one of the questions we asked is, what do we think the potential is for this K-State football team? And I think all of us were thinking 9-10 wins, maybe with a bowl win, a chance to make the Big 12 championship game. I think we all thought that was possible. But I think we all thought, well, the scenario is Adrian Martinez plays really, really well, and he stays healthy. I don't think anybody ever dreamt that Will Howard would be kind of the savior for this team. And it does go along the lines of how deep this team has turned out to be because of all the injuries and things they've had to battle through both defensively and on offense to do what they have.
Well, you said a lot there, and I think it's 1,000% accurate. I don't think any of us saw this coming from Will Howard, at least to this level of excellence. He's just been amazing. With that said, I have to be honest and tell you, I have so much respect for Adrian and how he handled all of this from day one. I don't think K-State would be where they are today without him. And I think part of the optimism that we had early on was you dreamt that Adrian would be healthy, he would be consistent, he would be good, he would be a leader, he would be maybe a captain. And a lot of that stuff happened. And I tell people all the time here recently in these types of interviews that, K-State had 6 preseason first-team All-Big 12 guys. So I think it's a little odd they were picked 6th. I think most of us felt like if things fell into place, they could certainly be better than that, and I think they were clearly better than that.
No doubt about it. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's go back to the depth part, because before the season, I was asking Dusty his biggest concern, and he was worried about depth, in particular on the defensive side of the ball. Are you surprised sure. that K-State's been able to withstand so many of these injuries in key spots, especially on defense in the secondary, to where they have guys that a freshman in Parrish, or you've got a wide receiver that's playing DB in the Big 12 title game? It just seems like it's next man up.
Well, that's pretty well said, too. I think I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit surprised. Because if you remember those early talks that we had, the question was defensively, remember a year ago when K-State had what I always describe as those plug-and-play transfer guys that did so well, can they do it again with a different group? And the answer, of course, was yes. But it was even deeper than that, and you touched on it there with the emergence of with a Parrish, who's just a terrific-looking freshman, B.J. Payne, who's another one. And when you got down into that title game and you've got Keenan Garber playing corner and Josh Parrish being the 6th DB in the middle of the field, when Keenan basically a month earlier was still at a receiver position and wearing a different number, it kind of makes you really recognize, how well these guys are coached and how hard they work at it. And it is kind of a next man up thing. We've had a lot of injuries, even in the title game where you lose Echo Boydo early. You mm-hmm. lose Malik Knowles early. And you remember, on top of that, the R.J. Garcia catch. I mean, it's just part of that, what I said early. So many personalities, so much quality leadership on this team, starting from the top. But the senior leaders have been just exemplary, really. So to me, that's kind of where it all starts. And when you have that and you have commitment and leadership at the very top, it certainly is it's not easy ever, but it makes it easier for those young guys to learn and to follow and hopefully get better along the way.
I think it's very ironic when you go back and in the head coaching search, and there were a lot of K-Staters that were concerned if Chris Klieman became the head coach. They thought buddy system, Gene Taylor hiring his buddy, so forth and so on. And one of the hot names at the time was Seth Luttrell. And oddly enough, he was let go by North Texas. I think it was the day of the Big 12 championship game or the very next day. And he was the hot commodity. A lot of K-Staters, of course, wanted Venables. That was the first one. Every time the K-State job's open, everybody wants Venables. And then, of course, it was Seth Luttrell. And I will say this. I'm not tooting my own horn because I did. I remember talking about this on the show. I thought it was going to be a good hire. I guess he sold me. He won me over, win the dang day. He seemed like a guy that I was ready to run through a wall for just listening to him. I think he did a wonderful job of promoting him when he became the head coach with the social media stuff. I thought that was great, a chance to get to know him a little bit before he even really truly was the head coach at Kansas State University for the most part. And so I'm not really surprised that he has K-State where they are today. I would guess you aren't either.
No, I'm not. And I think you said a bunch there, too. And I don't deny the fact that Gene Taylor and Chris Klieman are really good friends. But I think Gene had the foresight to see how he could fit into this K-State puzzle. You don't really ever compare anybody to Coach Snyder just because of the obvious. And yet, with that said, I think Chris has been very consistent in the way he runs the program, the type of people he surrounds himself with, the type of kids he recruits. And it hasn't been perfect necessarily all the time. You know, we really struggled in the COVID year, for as did everybody, but it really hit hard, and that was hard. And I think they did some reevaluation on some things too, and maybe just a kind of a restart, as Coach called it, into last year. But you could kind of see last year that with Skyler, when he was healthy, they had a pretty darn good football team. And when you lose him, you wanted to go out and get an Adrian Martinez to have a veteran guy in that quarterback room, and that leads to Martinez, and it leads to Will Howard, you know, doing what he did. But again, I think it's just – Klieman is just so consistent in the way he does everything. His staff is excellent. I've said this in other interviews too, Wade, and I think this is important. I think Coach Klieman, probably the best way to say it is think about this for a moment. A year ago at this time, he let go Courtney Messingham, K-State's offensive coordinator. He felt a change was needed. He knew he had Colin Klein in his pocket. But he also fired probably his best friend since he was 7 or 8 years old. Imagine how hard that would be, and yet he did it because he knew it had to be done.
Yeah.
So I think the program comes first, and I think, you know, just the way he's handled all of this, he's humble, he's hardworking, he does so many things well, and I think he'd be the first to tell you he's been the beneficiary of you know, a lot of good coaching around him. Klanderman's done a great job with the defense. Colin, I think, is just scratching the surface of what he's going to be. So I guess what we're describing here is a lot of pieces fell into place, and that's the way you want it to happen.
And that comes for your CEO of your team, and that's your head coach. Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest today. I want to go back for a moment. Let's go to the Big 12 title game and the day of the game. Can you kind of paint the picture for those that weren't able to attend the game and for K-Staters listening that maybe didn't have the money or the time to go down to Arlington, AT&T Stadium, which is a unique stadium? I had a chance to tour it last summer. I haven't been actually to a game, but it just absolutely makes your jaw drop, and that big, big, huge screen in the middle of the field as well. But can you kind of describe the atmosphere and the representation of K-State? And granted, both teams wear purple, so maybe it's a little bit harder to tell exactly what the crowd split was and ratio between TCU and K-State fans, but I've just heard so many tremendous stories about what took place down there.
Well, first and foremost, it all starts with the great venue, right? I mean, you described it well. It is a palace. They really know what they're doing there. And you have two really good football teams with a lot of momentum meeting and putting on an incredible display of, you know, 60-plus minutes of football. Yeah. So I think it starts there. But on top of that, you know, TCU had the advantage of almost playing in their backyard, very, very close. But K-Staters, do what they always do, and they travel. And I don't know exactly the split necessarily either. Some have guesstimated 20,000, some maybe upwards of 25 or so. Could be in between that. I'm not sure. But what I think I would say is I think that let's split the difference, say, and say 22.5. I think K-State's 22.5 was every bit as loud as the rest of the people wearing purple there that were rooting for the other team. And just I think what makes it special for me as I look back on it is just, you know, how good a football team K-State beat, what it took to beat them, good, bad, and otherwise, right? I mean, you're kind of rolling along there, and then you have a muff punt. The next thing you know, you're tied and going to overtime. I mean, just the emotional swings, all of the big plays. I honestly think the goal line stand probably, you know, 25 years from now, people will talk about that as they do with the middle screen to Darren Sproles in 2003. I just think that's kind of what it is. So simply stated, a spectacular day. I hope I describe it well enough, because it's hard if you're not there to understand. But when we got back, and I was with the team back, and we did I introduced Kleiman and interviewed three players at halftime, and I can't even describe to you the loudness of the arena there at the basketball game with Wichita State. It was incredible. So I've been blessed in my 20-plus years here. I've had a lot of great days. That one's in the upper, let's say 2%.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I would agree with you there. You know, the defensive stand, you mentioned that 25 years from now, that'll still be a legendary defensive stand, and I totally agree with you. The only thing that would have been better, and I love these situations. And granted, the defense, it didn't end the game, clearly. K-State still had to kick a field goal. Now, if that was 31-28 K-State in the defensive stand, and that you ended the game with the stand, I think that makes it even more legendary. But, you know, I go back and I look, and oddly enough, of course, K-State's playing Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, but I look at the LSU-Alabama game, you know, where Alabama, there's no doubt in my mind LSU's going for two, and I could not believe Chris Fowler was just so stunned that LSU was going for two. I'm like, dear God, that's the obvious decision here. One play to win it all. Why wouldn't you take your chances, especially if you're the underdog? And Chris, I think we all knew, without even having to ask Chris Kleiman, that they were going to go for two. Had TCU scored, which it looked like they were going to, and TCU, I don't know if TCU would have gone for two or kicks the extra point. Most of the time, teams that go first kick the extra point, but then the team that gets the last chance at it, at least in the overtime, that's their biggest advantage, to go for two when they don't have to and go for the win. And Coach Kleiman said, yeah, we were going to go for the two. That would have been the only thing that would be more legendary, because I really felt like both teams were going to score in overtime. And I was talking to everybody watching at home, my family, and saying, K-State's going to watch this. K-State's going to go for two, and they're going to win this game on a two-point try. That was the only thing that would have made it even more exciting. And I'm guessing you guys were probably prepared for that too, weren't you?
Oh, for sure. And I know in my heart that Coach Kleiman would have gone for two. He's told me that. I think you're totally accurate with that. He is pretty aggressive by nature anyway, more times than not. I don't think there's any question. And it probably, if it laid out that way, might have been a little bit more so. But I still think with those, you know, with the third and fourth down stops,
it's still pretty good.
And people have asked me a lot of times, well, why not use Duggan? I don't know that I have the right answer for that, but I do think that he was a warrior
and part
of what made the game so awesome.
Yes.
But I also think that K-State beat the dog out of him, too, and I don't know how much gas he had left in the tank either.
No, I think you're
so
right.
Maybe that played a small part in it. I don't know that, but I'll say this. I've seen a lot of really incredible performances in my time at K-State, both from the Cats and opponents, and he did everything he could to put that team on his back and will him to win. They just fell a little short.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he was terrific, no doubt, and made it a legendary game. Without him doing that,
for sure,
you know, K-State maybe wins 28-17. The Sugar Bowl's coming up against Alabama. Now, last year, K-State played LSU in a bowl game. LSU, about half their players, maybe not that many, but a lot of players opted out. I love the SEC slogan, "It just matters more," but I like to add to their slogan, "It matters more in the SEC, except if it's not a playoff game." Because when they lose bowl games, they say, well, it's not that important, and it doesn't matter. Well, if it doesn't matter, then why are you playing in it? When you go on the field, in my opinion, you put your best foot forward, and you can make excuses all you want. Everybody can make excuses. K-State went out there and beat LSU, and K-State can't control who plays on the other side of the field, whether these players opt out of a bowl game or not. And I know there's a few Alabama players that are not going to play in this game. I don't know if there's going to be more that are going to opt out. But this is an unbelievable opportunity for K-State, and I know what's going to happen. You know what the narrative is going to be. If Alabama loses to K-State, there's the built-in excuse. Well, they didn't care. All they care about is the playoff. You've heard it before. If K-State loses to Alabama, they'll be, well, you know, Alabama did what they're supposed to do. K-State, you know, hey, thanks for coming to the party. And Alabama beat you even without some of these key players. So to me, K-State wins. They're not going to get as much credit as they probably deserve. At the same time, you talk about a terrific stage and something that could be legendary for K-State fans is knocking off Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, whether they're full strength or not.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. And in preparing for this game and still doing so, it's remarkable the number of athletes that they have. And it's not that much different than what we saw with LSU. And again, they went through a coaching change and what have you. All of those things are true. But at the end of the day, K-State last year against LSU was the better team in terms of just in that 60 minutes of football.
Mm-hmm.
What happens this year, I don't know. But I think you're right. It is an incredible opportunity against what I've described as probably the gold standard of college football in the last, 16, 17 years with Nick Saban there. I'll remind your listeners that he's 193-27 in his time at Alabama. Think about that for a
second. That's ridiculous.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I saw a draft projection yesterday that has four of their players going in the first round,
mm-hmm.
including the one and the three picks with their quarterback and that really good linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So but the game is you have to have talent. Talent wins games, right? But who knows what they will have. And that, frankly, not that anybody cares about this, but it does make it a little bit difficult to prepare because you don't really know.
Yeah.
I know they've had some guys in the portal. You kind of have a pretty good sense that they won't be around. But, I guess I'm starting to sway a little bit more towards if you're a top five pick and it's not a playoff game and you're Alabama and you're in the playoffs 8 out of 10 times, excuse me, maybe I understand it a little bit better now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like you, man. I'm a little old-fashioned that way. I think if you're a member of the team and you are from the beginning, you finish what you do and you go with it. But I think we live in a little bit different times now. So I'm not sure what to expect, but I love the opportunity.
Yeah.
I just do. There's nothing. K-State has nothing. Zero to lose.
Absolutely. Nothing. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they've got the Big 12 championship trophy, and now they have a chance to knock off perennial power Alabama. It's a golden opportunity. Golden opportunity. I agree with you. Let's turn our attention to the men's basketball team. They're off to a nice start, 9-1 under head coach Jerome Tang in his first year. And now they get and it is a test. I didn't know if it was going to be a test, but it certainly looks like it's going to be a test. Coming up Saturday at T-Mobile Center in KC at 6 o'clock against Nebraska, the Huskers are 6-5, 0-2 in conference play. And people may say, oh, that's really scary. But the Huskers beat number 7 Creighton on December 4th. They lost to number 14 Indiana. And this past Saturday, they lost to who is now the number 1 team in America. At the time, they ranked 4th Purdue. Nebraska took them to overtime in Lincoln, lost 65-62. So that's 3 straight ranked teams that Nebraska's played. They beat and won. They lost the middle game to Indiana, and they could very easily beat who is the number 1 team in America right now. I don't know how that doesn't get your attention if you're Jerome Tang and the staff and the players.
Well, I agree with that. I think in terms of strength of schedule, they're probably towards the top 10 of the country.
Yeah.
And I do think they're better than they were a year ago. They are a little bit different. There's no doubt about that. They really only have Derek Walker back as a starter from last year. The Tominaga kid is back, and Wilcher is back, but Griesel is new, Bandamel is new, Juwan Gary is new, Blaze Keita is new. So here's what they are, I think, for me. A team that doesn't have a sparkling record, but they really do a pretty good job of defending. And if you catch them on a day where they shoot, 45% or better, you're going to be in for a battle. And I think that's what we saw with the Purdue game last Saturday. Purdue had to really fight and probably got a little bit fortunate with a non-call late in the game to get out of there with a win. So I think this certainly will be a challenge for K-State. But as far as Coach Tang is going, I'm so excited about where they're at. But even more so about where they're potentially headed. I think they're continuing to evolve and get better, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the biggest thing that stands out to me is K-State is just so much more athletic. I mean, they just look so much more athletic. They got guys that can, I mean, guys, they got so many athletes on the floor. We've seen the highlight reel plays that they made, and I know that's flashy and all, but, I mean, to me, that's a display of athleticism that they haven't had for quite some time.
Well, it's true. I think length and athleticism, too. David Gasson, I think, is getting better. I mean, we've seen Naquan Tomlin have some ups and downs, but he's just freakish athletically. Keontae Johnson's really a fine player. He was such a, I mean, he probably was the crown jewel, if you will, or the cherry on top, getting that last guy in on this group of 15. He's a really fine player. And then you also have to give Coach Tang a lot of credit for what he's done. There's no doubt that Marquise Noel is a better basketball player today than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's nothing more than just, you know, the better split between assists and turnovers. He's just been remarkable that way, and he's averaging 14-plus points a game. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, he's the heartbeat of the team, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
Let's change gears here. Mike Leach passed away unexpectedly here the other day at the age of 61. Obviously, in the Big 12 and over the years, I'm sure you've dealt with Mike Leach or Big 12 media days, back when he was at Texas Tech. What is your favorite Mike Leach story, whether it's a personal story you had interaction with him or simply a story that you've read or heard about with Mike Leach?
Well, there are so many. I'll try to make this pretty quick here, but I read something yesterday that I thought was funny, that he was working with a young wannabe coach at one point, and you may have seen this on Twitter. I think it was on Twitter quite a bit yesterday, but the kid was asking him for some advice on a date, and he said, take her to a nice steak place, buy her a big steak. If she eats it all, marry her.
that's good advice.
Me, that kind of sums him up in a very, very short story.
No,
I loved Mike. He was such a different individual in every way, but that's partly why he was so special. I can't tell you how many times we played them, you know, when he was at Tech, and what a nightmare they were to play with those wide splits and going 100 miles an hour. Whew, they were hard to deal with, buddy.
Absolutely. All right, the off-the-wall question for Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. We had Mark Johnson on Voice of Colorado. Of course, you know Mark very well. He followed you there at KOA in Denver. And Mark was hunting out here this way, and we had him in studio. And I had somebody, John was listening to the program, and he sent a text, and he said, oh, my gosh, that guy's voice, he could be the narrator of my life story. And so that leads me to the off-the-wall question. Wyatt Thompson, who would you pick to be the narrator of your life story? Who would be the narrator of Wyatt Thompson's life story?
Mark Johnson would finish second to Alan Roach.
Okay.
Do you know who Alan Roach is?
No, I do not.
If you think about Olympic hockey PA or Super Bowl PA, this is a guy that I worked with at KOA in Denver at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Has the best pipes I've ever heard in 46 years in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Remarkable. And he told me he grew up in Minnesota, I think it was, and he said, you think I have a good voice, you should have heard my dad. And I just laughed. I said, that's impossible. He goes, no. So there's always somebody better out there, right? But for me, it would be Alan Roach.
Wow. And I just looked him up. Boom. He is a pretty popular dude, and I'm sure I've heard him announce things many times before. And
I guarantee you have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he's done every Super Bowl for the last probably 30 years.
I love guys with that type of voice. I've always been jealous of those people. Like, I wish I could, you know, those national commercials you hear, you know, with these deep voices. I'm like, I could have made a ton of money if I just had that unique deep voice, you know?
He did the Rockies PA for a while. He did the Avalanche PA for a while. He was, when I first met him, he was a jock at one of the FM rock stations in Denver, but also was kind of making his way. He actually did the Broncos sidelines for a while. Just a great guy, great talent.
Man, I like that. I've learned something new today. Wyatt, thank you as always for your time. Thanks for rearranging your schedule, and best of luck. Safe travels to New Orleans, a great town to hang out in. A lot of business to be taken care of, and wouldn't it be a story if K-State would take down Alabama on New Year's Eve day?
Yes, it would. I'm looking forward to the opportunity, man. Thanks. Always enjoy talking to you, buddy. Appreciate the opportunity.
Same here. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest on the Sports Ticket. Our focus on K-State athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric and Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.
We await the snap from Randon Plattner out of the hold of Jack Bloomer. Good snap and placement. Kick on the way. It is up. And good! It's good! The Wildcats are champions of the Big 12 in 2022. They stun 12-0 TCU and win it in overtime, 31-28. How about those Wildcats? A third Big 12 championship.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.